Told Randy, I said, how do you follow that? I've been shaking in my seat over there, worried about getting up and standing because I don't want to get in the way. I truly don't this morning. And I mean this with all sincerity. Randy's asked me this way to preach this morning, but I don't have to preach. And I mean, if you've got anything on your heart, just let it go. And I'm thankful for everybody just minding the Spirit of the Lord this morning. And I truly, truly, truly do not want to get in the way this morning. I just want to do what the Lord would have us to do. And I mean that. If you've got anything else, you ain't going to interrupt me. Just get it off of you. If the Lord's asking you to do it, you won't be a bother to me at all, I promise. And I'm thankful to be here this morning. I truly am. And I'm just going to do my best maybe to do what the Lord has asked us to do here this morning. Whether it's just whatever it is, I just want to do what the Lord would have us to do. And I truly am. We were sitting there yesterday and just trying to just relax a little bit. And Mallory was gone to a shower or something. I was there by myself at the house. And Brother Stephen texted me and asked me if we had anywhere to go this evening. And I said no. And he asked me to preach tonight. And I thought to myself, well, I've got a little something on my heart. You know, that'll be all right. I'll be okay. And then a few hours later, Randy texted me and asked me if we had anywhere to go this morning. And it seemed like my whole world just fell in. And I started panicking and I got nervous. And it's been a while since we've had to stand twice on a Sunday. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see how these pastors do it. I really don't. And sometimes it can seem like pulling teeth trying to get a hold of a message and then have to turn around and do it again. And it seems like every thought the Lord gives you, you want to start to yourself trying to divvy it up here and here and here, and this will go there and this will whatever. But I just want to mind the Lord, and I truly do. And the Lord will take care of me tonight just like He'll take care of me this morning. And I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to do my best not to worry about it this morning. But it's been good to be here. It truly has. I appreciate what I've been made to feel. I love it when things just get out of sorts and the church gets started. I truly do. But honestly, it's scary, and I desire your prayers. I hope that you pray for me just like you have the service so far, because I need it. And I can't do this thing on my own. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to read, what to say, what to do. But I'm thankful for the opportunity. And I know that if we'd ever just mind the Lord, then it'll work. But if you've got your Bibles with us, this morning, and you feel like reading with us, we're going to read just a little bit of Scripture. And if the Lord sees fit, we might read in another place. But if not, we're just going to do what the Lord would have us to do. And it's some very familiar Scripture. We hear it talked about and testified about and preached about often, many times. And just some very familiar Scripture. And I just feel like this is what the Lord would have us to read this morning. In the third chapter of the book of Revelation. And we know that this book goes way over our heads, but we're just going to try to do what the Lord has asked us to do this morning, and I'm thankful for that. But we're going to start in about, I guess, maybe the 12th verse in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. And the Bible says, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith Amen, that faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that's all we feel like reading right now. And I'm thankful that If you're here and you don't know the Lord, He's already standing there at the door knocking this morning. I truly believe that. He sent His Spirit down upon us and that. And I believe if you're not right with the Lord that you've been found out this morning and you already know exactly where you're at and where you stand. And I'm thankful for the times in my life that it's found me out in that where I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. And I'm thankful that if we could ever just make our heart right with the Lord, that we can just have that of the services that we've had this morning. And I'm thankful. You can't have the service like we've had this morning without bringing it with you, without being happy to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm thankful that when you bring the Spirit with you, it just seems like it flows so much more and so much easier in that. But we've just got a little thought in our heart this morning that we might be able to try to get out. We were sitting there, I guess last week in Sunday school before we started, waiting on everybody else to get down and the bookkeeper to take the things back and whatever. But we were sitting there talking about, I guess, the road trip that me and Mal and Tracy and Paul and Emily went on this past summer. We began to talk about all the hills and the curves that we went over and how steep it was looking down in the drives through, I guess, the mountains and stuff there that we went through and that. And we got to laughing about Brother Tracy and that, about how he was so nervous sitting in the car and he wouldn't hardly look out because of how steep it was and that. And we began to talk about all the times that we got out of the car and we go to the edge and look over and look down and the Grand Canyon and those places and how beautiful it was. But we began to laugh about maybe how he was sitting in the car and how he missed out on some of those things. And I just began to think about this scripture and how it talks about being lukewarm. And I began to think about that of him staying in the car, and I love him to death. And if he watches this message on YouTube, he might have to get on me, but whatever, that's fine. I'm thankful that sometimes when you sit in the car, I guess on the edge, and you look out and only see where it's safe, it's amazing what you miss out on. And I'm thankful that when we got out of the car and we walked to the edge, you know, it might not have been very smart and very safe, but I'm thankful that we got to see some things that we wouldn't have been able to see if we just stayed in the car where it was safe. And I'm thankful that there's some people that get born in this life, they get born again, the Lord saves their soul, and they stay lukewarm, and they stay right there where it's safe in the car, and they never choose to step out on faith and see what the Lord has got for them. And I'm thankful for the times that I've been able to have enough faith in me to step out of the car, to step over to the edge and see the glory of God before my eyes. And I'm thankful I've got some pictures on my phone and some things that I took while I was standing there scared I might slip and fall, but it was absolutely beautiful to see God's creation in that. And I'm thankful that I was able to see it, you know. And I'm thankful for the times in this walk with the Lord that I've stepped out on faith and been able to see the glory of God and that of all His fullness. And I'm thankful for that. I truly am. And you might just have to wait on me. Let me wait upon the Lord and that. And just follow the Lord. But I'm thankful the Lord has come by maybe and give us a few thoughts of that, what we might do and what we might say and what might go for this morning and what might go for tonight. And you know what? If y'all end up getting all of them, that's fine. The Lord will give me what we stand in need of for tonight. But I'm thankful. There's some scripture in the Bible, and there's a group, I guess, on Facebook that keeps popping up, and they sell T-shirts and clothes and sweatshirts and stuff like that. But it's a Christian-based group in that, and they've got a shirt that says, "Perhaps you were born for such a time as this." And I began to read and study in Esther, and I've read it before, but I just began to really try to read and study and know everything that went behind it in that. But I'm thankful that some of my favorite scripture in the Bible is in the book of Esther in that. Just some very... a simple scripture in that, but some of my favorite scripture in the Bible is in the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Esther, and the last part of it says, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And I'm thankful for that. There's many people in this life that get saved and they get born again and they try to tell the Lord that they can't do it. "Lord, this isn't my fight. This isn't something that I can do and something that I can handle." But you know what? Perhaps thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this, folks. If you don't know anything about Esther there and that, I believe it's Persia where they were at, and the king was, I guess, a drunkard in that, and he liked to have these big parties and banquets and drink all the time, and he wanted his wife to come and be shown off and show the kingdom, I guess, out of her beauty and that, and she refused to do it, and he done away with her and that. He held a beauty contest there, if you'd have it that way, and that, to try to find him a new wife and that, and Esther sister was a Jew and she joined this beauty contest and didn't let him know, didn't let anybody know that she was a Jew and she won it and she became his queen and that. And they rock on a little bit further in that. And maybe the Lord will let me just lay some backstory for you, but they rock on a little bit further in that. I believe it's her uncle and that. Mordecai there realizes and overhears in that of a plot that they're going to try to kill the king there, or however the story might be. And he goes and he tells him and tells Esther to warn him and let him know. And he saves his life in that. But then it rocks on a little bit further in Haman there. He hates all the Jews in that. He wants to have them all killed. And he wants to have them all killed on a certain day. And the decree is made. He convinces the king there in his drunkenness to make the decree to kill all the Jews. And you know, something I noticed in researching this, I come across something that said that not once in the book of Esther is God mentioned. Is the word God, is the Lord mentioned in the book of Esther and that. And I'm thankful for that because there was a lot of stuff going on in the book of Esther in that time. And even the Jews there were doing some things that they weren't supposed to be doing and that was immoral. And that wasn't right for them to be doing. But you know what? I'm thankful out of the book of Esther we can see through the whole thing that the Lord, even though his name wasn't mentioned in this book, he was working behind the scenes the whole time to make it work for him. And Haman there, he wanted them all killed in that. And then the king rocks on, the king gets drunk again, and he goes to bed and he can't sleep. And they have him read the royal chronicles or whatever it might be. They read them to him and he remembers and thinks back. And Haman had done said that he wanted Mordecai killed. He made a great big stake that he was going to impale him on in that. And the royal chronicles were read to the king and that. The king remembers how Mordecai saves his life and that. And then it turns around on Haman, and Haman ends up getting, I guess, impaled by the same stake. But I remember, and I'm thankful reading the scripture that when you read on about it, it says, let me just read these few verses to you. It says, "For if altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return, and Mordecai this answer: "Go and gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink three days, night or day. I also, my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." And so Mordecai went his way and did all according to that Esther had commanded him. But I'm thankful reading that according to Persian law, it was not right to go before the king without a royal decree or without a royal request or whatever it might be. And she could have been put to death. It was punishable by death under Persian law. So when she says, "If I perish, I perish," she meant it because she was willing to put her life on the line to save the lives of those of the Jews that were there fixing to be attacked and fixing to be killed and that. She goes in and he tells her that that it can't be undone once it's done. But I'm thankful that she was able to have a new decree made in that, that when they were to come for him, that they could fight back and that they were able to gather themselves together. And not only there in the city that they were in, but the decree was made that whoever might come against them, wherever they might be, that they could fight back and take that, I guess, maybe a defense for themselves. And I'm thankful that the scripture tells us that they were saved because of the boldness of Esther and that, how she was willing to have enough faith in her God that if she perished in doing what she knew she had to do, that it would be worth it. And that, and I'm thankful for that, folks. We, a lot of times in this life, we want to lay down in the Lord and say, "Lord, this is for somebody else." And when I was running for my calling to preach, I said, "Lord, I can't do this. It's not for me. I haven't been in this way long enough. Lord, I just got saved a few years ago. I don't even know the workings of the church. I don't know this doctrine and that doctrine. I don't know how this service goes and that service goes." I said, "Lord, it's not for me. I can't do this." But I'm so thankful that perhaps maybe I was born for such a time as this, that I can stand behind this book board and do my part that somebody else might be able to come on and to be able to come to know the Lord. And I began to think about, I guess, maybe what me and Mal are going through. We swapped doctors, I guess, this week, and we had our first appointment with him. And I'm so thankful for how the Lord works. I'm thankful for the journey that has got us to where we're at. And I'm thankful the man looked at us and laughed and said, "What took you so long to get here?" But I'm thankful he began to talk and he said, "I'm going to put it to you this way." He said, "I need to know a little bit about your past. I need to know what's happened. And he said, and I'm going to ask you one time, and you're going to tell me. And after that, we're not going to speak of it again. It's a fresh start, a clean slate. We're going to move forward, and we're going to figure this thing out. And I'm so thankful for that, you know. But the Lord did that for me one time in my life. I had to come up here and I had to tell him exactly what I'd done. And I made my peace with the Lord about it. He wiped the slate clean, and we moved forward with a fresh start. And I'm thankful for that. I truly am. But there's so many of us, and I've been guilty of it too in my walk with the Lord, that we become lukewarm on the Lord, and we say, Lord, I can't do this. Or, Lord, what's the point? I've been praying for so long. Why should I not just give up and quit and stop caring and stop worrying about it? But the Lord saved my soul. He's called me to a work that's greater than me, and I'm thankful that I pray that I always stay hot for the Lord, and that I never grow lukewarm, because somebody is always watching our steps. They're always looking at every move we make. They're inspecting and watching our lives. When maybe we think it's crazy, folks, but to a lost person, when a Christian person slips up and does something that we know we're not supposed to do, it's just that much fuel to the fire for them to say, well, I don't need that walk of life. I don't need it. If they can do what they want to do, what's the point in me even serving the Lord if they're just living the way that I'm living, folks? I'm here to tell you that sin will take you farther than you're willing to go. And you might think that, Lord, I'll just do this one time and then I'll be done. And that sin will take you farther than you're willing to go. And you'll look back and you'll realize that you've grown lukewarm on the Lord, and that you sat down on the stool of Doolittle, and that you've just sat down on the Lord. And I'm thankful. Sin will take you farther than you're willing to go, but I'm so thankful for the scriptures that give us some encouragement, and that for who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I'm thankful, you know what? Who knows whether you've come to this service right here this day for such a time as this, and that you have felt something here this morning that you've never felt before. And I'm thankful that you know it's unlike anything you've ever felt before. And I'm thankful that if you'd get a hold of the Lord, it'd be amazing what you could do for him. I truly am. I tried to put myself in Esther's shoes and thinking how scary it must be and how fearful it might have been that she come to the point that she said, if I perish, I perish. And I pray in my walk with the Lord that I can always say and be willing that, Lord, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do what you ask me to do without question. And I'm thankful for that. I haven't always done that. And I believe if we were all honest with ourselves, we could probably all say that we hadn't all done that 100% of the time when the Lord has asked us to do something. But I'm thankful, so thankful for the times that I have, and I truly am. I woke up this morning, I'm going to be honest with you, when I first started preaching, I used to wake up on Sunday mornings sick as a dog, feel like I could throw up, like I sick at my stomach, scared to death and nervous. I woke up feeling that way again this morning, and you know what? I hadn't felt that way in a while, but I'm thankful for it. I truly am, because I don't ever want to feel like I can do this thing, because I can't. And I'm thankful to be able to feel scared and nervous and terrified and wondering which way I'm going to go, because I've got to trust the Lord. And that's, I'm no preacher. I'm not. I'm just a mouthpiece. I truly am. And I don't want to do or say anything that might steer somebody wrong or that might get in the way or whatever. I don't want to do that. I really don't. But I'm thankful that sometimes the Lord can just come back by and remind you. And let you know exactly where you're at, you know. But I began to think about old Achan and that when I was thinking about all this. And you know, the Lord gave him some pretty clear instructions on what they were and were not to do and that. And Achan thought that he could take the spoils and hide them in his tent and get by with it, you know. And I'm thankful there's been some times in my life that I've done some things that maybe I shouldn't do, and I thought that maybe that I could hide in my tent, that maybe nobody would find out, whatever it might be. And there's been times that it's been found out on me, and I'm thankful that that we had the scriptures to go by, that maybe we don't get to the point that Achan got to, because Achan thought that he could hide it, and he thought it was okay, and he thought that he could go as far as he could go, and nobody would ever find out about it. And it cost him a whole lot more than he was willing to pay. It cost him his life and his family's lives. And everything that he had was lost because he was selfish and not willing to give everything to the Lord and do what the Lord had told him to do. Ananias and Sapphira were the same way. They tried to hold back from the Lord when they were told what to do. And it cost them their lives, folks. And I'm not here to tell you that you hold back from the Lord and you're going to drop dead just like Ananias and Sapphira did. But I'm thankful that when you turn your back upon the Lord, there's a death, a slow death sometimes that takes place, right, I guess, beneath your eyes where you can't even see it happening. Before you realize it, you'll turn around and you'll look and you'll realize that you ain't felt the Spirit of God in a long time. And you'll realize that you ain't tried to talk to the Lord in a long time. And then you'll sit there and do your best to try to get a hold of the Lord, and it'll be like talking to that wall right there. And you can't get a hold of nothing. But I'm thankful that just like in the book of Esther, his name is not mentioned in this book, but he was there working the whole time. You know, and I'm thankful that book. When I was lost and undone before I got born again, I was just like this book right here. And I never sought the Lord. I wasn't saved, wasn't nothing. But the Lord took care of me and got me to the point where I was able to have an opportunity to be saved. And I'm thankful for that. The Lord is always working. He truly is. And I began to think about all that me and Mal have been through and that, you know. And I got saved and started going to church, started preaching, and all the friends maybe that we had, I guess in high school, it seems like they, and I know I've said this before, just forgot our name, you know, forgot who we were. But I began to think about Abram and Bailey there at Stoner's are our best friends in the whole world. And when you see one of us, you probably see them, you know. But you know what conversation we talked about whenever we went on a trip, I guess, to the beach at New Year's, and we were dreading it. We didn't like them. We couldn't stand them. We didn't want to do nothing with them. But we got in the car, and we rode, and we were going somewhere, and we finally all just decided to start talking, and we all just kind of opened up, and we began to tell them about the experiences that me and Mal had been through and that of how we had lost and had our first the first miscarriage that we had, and how it led me to start preaching and finally give in to the Lord and that, and then what had happened after, and then the second one and that. That was our conversation, and it just seemed like they had been through it too, and it just kind of bonded us and yoked us together, you know. And if we hadn't have been through what we had been through up until that point, we wouldn't have had nothing that we could have come together and yoke up on. And we've got a friendship now, and they're family. They're more than friends, and I'm thankful for that, because anytime we need them, they're there for us, and I hope that anytime they need us, we can be there for them. But I'm thankful that when you look back and the Lord lets you see exactly why you go through the things you go through, because He's got something so much greater in store for you. And I'm thankful for that. I truly am. When the Lord blesses us to have kids, they can grow up with their kids, and they can just, and it'll just work. And I'm thankful for that. If you ever just think on the goodness of God and not get down and out on all the struggles and the trials you're going through in this life, it'll work, and you'll realize that all the troubles and trials you've been through in your life will just seem like minor inconveniences when you look back and realize what the Lord has done for you in your life. And I'm thankful for that. I know that that if we'd ever just keep our hope and trust in Jesus, that one day He's gonna answer our prayers. I know He will. I know He will, and I'm thankful for that. I truly am. But He gives us everything we need. He does, and I'm thankful for that. I truly am. It's been good to be here this morning. I appreciate your prayers. I know everybody's probably getting antsy and getting hungry, but I appreciate you staying in there with me and praying. I appreciate the service. I appreciate everybody being willing just to mind the Lord and do what He'd have you to do. It makes a difference in the service. It truly does. The morning that I got born again, it seemed like everybody and their brother got up and was testifying, and I wanted them to hush the bat so I could get out the door. I really did, and I began to sit there. I knew the whole time maybe the Lord was dealing with me, but I wasn't willing to move. And everybody got up and they sung about 20 verses of that old Ship of Zion. They just kept singing it and kept singing it. And there was one woman at Stoner's that hardly ever says anything that got up and testified that morning. And I'm not joking. It was word for word the exact situation that I was in. Was born even the same denomination. She grew up in the Church of God and realized, thought she was saved, and realized that she was lost and got born again. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. Because she was willing to stand up and do what the Lord asked her to do, I was finally willing to let go. We can have a part in each other's salvation and each other's walk with the Lord. We really do. I don't have the power to save anybody, but if I do what the Lord had asked me to do, He uses us to help those that are around us. He uses us to accomplish things here on this earth. He really does. We are the body. And I'm thankful that that scripture says that he wrote the new name on him. And I'm thankful that it's established in the hearts of man, the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful a lot of people read that book and they look for what's happening out here. Folks, it's already happened and it is here. And I'm thankful for that, that the kingdom of heaven dwells in the heart of man. And if you're waiting on it someday, then you're missing out. You really are. But I'm thankful that we've got it now. And I truly am thankful for what the Lord has done for me in my life. And it's amazing what you can see whenever you're willing to get a hold of it. But that's as far as we feel like going this morning. I don't want to ramble or put myself in it. I truly don't. But I appreciate the service. If you want to get a verse of a song, close out however you see fit. But I'm thankful. If the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, come and try Him. Just come and try Him. I ain't telling you you're going to have all the answers when you come down here, but I'm thankful if you'll just try Him, He'll sort the rest of it out. He really will. He did for me, and I'm thankful for that. But it's been good to be here this morning.